Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, our God is faithful. Amen. Oh, we can count on our God, and He knows how to help us.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Such a thing. It's just wonderful to be able to put our faith and trust in the Lord. You know, I've never been in an accident before. Brother Tim had never been in one, too, and you know, it's hard to understand, but my, oh my, I know there's reasons that God understands. It's sometimes way beyond us, but all I know is, oh my, when the car suddenly stopped and all at once all we could do is cry out to the Lord Jesus, you know, I know He was there. And I thank God, you know, I felt at the first it hurt so bad, and I wondered if I was able to walk out of that car. But you know what? Faith came upon me, it seemed. And all at once, I began to just ask the Lord, you know, God, you know, I really, really don't want to go away in the ambulance. I said, God, could you just help me to walk out of this car? And you know what? God helped me to walk out of that car. And I'll tell you what else. You know, the paramedics looked at me and examined me. And you know, they said, you know, from everything we could tell, nothing is broken. And, you know, I just thank God. You know, we get into these situations, and we don't always know or understand. And you know, but, you know, God knows how to take these things and bring them, use them for His kingdom.
Amen.
And, you know, I guess something that's really occurred to me as I've just thought on this and pondered it and, you know, well, truly given it over to the Lord. There's so much that's beyond my capacity to know and understand. But praise the Lord, I know our God is faithful.
Amen.
I know that He cares and He understands and He knows how to make a way. And you know, it just seems that the little that we suffer, well, we'd had a tremendous day of victory before the accident. Oh, it was pretty amazing because this brother Chokma, this man that is a rather new acquaintance to us, but he had called one day at Faith House and explained some of his struggles and anyway, long conversation in a way and you know, began to talk to him and just ask, you know, well, you know, are you baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? Have you received the Holy Ghost? And you know, just little things came out, and he began to realize, because this man wants to serve the Lord. There is a zeal in his heart. There is, you know, quite a desire to serve the Lord, and, you know, it just dawned on him, I need the Holy Ghost, and I need it with all my heart, and I'm just going to believe, you know, that I could be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and filled with Holy Ghost. And I'll praise the Lord, you know. Not that there weren't battles that we fought there prior to this day of his baptism. Oh my, in fact, it almost looked like he couldn't come. He didn't have money, it seemed like, to make the trip. But anyway, God worked that out. And there he came, there to Bay City, where we met. And I'll tell you, God worked out every detail. You know, we originally had thought that we would meet in a coffee house and went to that place and realized that wasn't a place we could really talk to somebody, you know, in earnest and pray with them. And then we went to the resort where we had a couple rooms that were reserved. And anyway, you know, it was kind of a question because usually, you know, they don't open them up till 3-4 in the afternoon. But and this was morning yet. And, you know, they said, well, there's no problem. The rooms are ready, and you could go in. And so the Lord worked that out, and then very shortly we met Chokma and his wife and his son and 18-month-old baby daughter. And, you know, we went, met together and asked if we could meet in the room that was just beyond the swim pool area. We had noticed that when we were just looking things over and noticed that there was a nice conference-looking room right behind the swim pool, very private and all. And yes, they said, no problem, we'll open it up for you and you can meet there. And I'll tell you, it was perfect. We were able to have our study, we were able to talk about the Lord, and we were able to pray. And I'll tell you, when we prayed, yes, this man was in earnestness. And we had some intense prayer right there in that room after our study. And then, I noticed his son, 5-year-old little boy, and he was so touched by the Lord. You could just see it all over his face. And, it came, after that point, we wanted to find a place to baptize him. And praise the Lord, not too far away, there was the river. And we were able to take Brother Chokma down to the river and his family with him. And Brother Tim baptized him in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this little boy, 5 years old, there he is. He's just standing there. He's crying and he's saying, I want to be baptized too. I want to be baptized. And it was so precious because I knew the Lord had talked to this young boy's heart. Praise the Lord. And so praise the Lord. Brother Tim carried him out to the water and praise the Lord baptized him in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, Chokma received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of other tongues. Praise the Lord, we serve a faithful God, and he knows how to intervene in lives. I mean, this man has been out there, he's 28 years old, but oh my, he's been in some things that, none of us would want to stick our head in. But praise the Lord, God knows how to reach down. God knows how to save to the uttermost. And I'll tell you what, that was a great victory. And I'll tell you what else, the day before, Brother Tim and I, we took a walk in that area and had some tracks and we're talking to a few people. You just talk to a man, of all places. It's kind of like a pipe shop or something. You just never know. But there he was. And he's a church-going person, and kind of proud of it. He had his church and all. But, I think by the time we were done talking to him, I think, he had some more thoughts. I think God was dealing with him. And I don't know where that will lead, but you just never know, folks. And oh, yes, we went through an area where there were, a park area, recreational park, well, VA, RVs rather, and other campers are in that area, and so we were able to talk to a few people in that park. And then as we were heading back to our cabins, there was a young girl that was swinging on a swing. She was there alone, and this was kind of a little area right past the area where we were staying. And Brother Tim just really felt impressed that we should just wait until she finished swinging and talk to her. And it was an amazing thing because, when she's done, introduced herself and began to talk to her. And, she was asked if she would like to know the Lord Jesus. And it was all open. She said, yes, I would like that. And she was willing to pray with us. And praise the Lord, we just had, a real time is this young girl, 15 years old, named Sophia. And oh my, she gave her heart to the Lord there in the park. Praise the Lord. It was so, so neat, because God just brought us to those places and enabled us to talk to various people. But praise the Lord, the next day when we were traveling and on our way, we had that accident and again, not a whole lot that you can understand. But I had to think of the scripture here in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 12 and 13. And they read, they say, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, this life is full of trials. It is full of tests. But praise the Lord, you know, what a joy to be a partaker of Christ's sufferings. And one day, it's all going to be over, isn't it? Oh, one day we're going to see his face. One day we're going to stand before him. Amen. And oh, how precious it will be to know that our sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, yes, how wonderful it's going to be to know that we obeyed that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, thank the Lord. Oh, what a joy to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there's fiery trials that come upon us in this world that try us. But, you know, he said, you know, don't think it some strange thing. Oh, yes, these apostles knew what it was like to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. But, oh, yes, he said, but rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, what a day awaits us, folks, if we could just endure it to the end, if we could just go forth and believe God and hold on to his promises and let the Lord work. He knows how to help us. Oh my, he's the one that gives us the unction. He's the one that gives us the words. He's the one that leads us. We know we could do nothing without him. But praise the Lord, you know, he's a mighty God. And there's nothing too hard for him. And oh my, he can help us. As feeble and insignificant as we are, it's this dust of the earth that we are. But praise the Lord, he knows how to help us.
Yes.
And you know, we're seeing all these things coming to pass. There's urgency in these moments. There's people out there who need to be reached for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, if we don't go forth with weeping and, you know, talking to the individuals that the Lord puts before us, we're going to miss out on the things that the Lord is able to do, those souls that yet need to be reached before this all ends. Because it's winding up right now, this world. We don't know when the door is going to be closed and it's going to be too late to go forth and bring forth the glad tidings.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And oh, how beautiful it is when you see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they too can be participants in the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. It's such a privilege. It is such a blessing to be a part of God's kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter right now. See how the Lord might direct us. I taught from the first portion of this chapter those weeks earlier when I last taught, and praise the Lord. I believe this is quite an amazing chapter. It tells us that those that were before us, the children of Israel, that they were under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea. And it's, you know, you got the word all there. They were all included in this process. They were all included among the ranks of God's people. And yes, they all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, we are told. But although all of them left Egypt, all of them crossed the Red Sea, all of them were following the cloud, all of them drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, that rock being Christ, God wasn't pleased with so very many of them. And this chapter goes on to tell how their problems, their falling out, their backslidings were examples unto us. Oh yes, unto us. These things are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come, it tells us in verse 11, after it explains, yes, some of their problems, yes, those that were idolaters, those that committed fornication, those that tempted Christ, and those that murmured. And of course, you know, yes, it got so bad that that older generation perished in the wilderness, all of them except for two faithful men, Caleb and Joshua. Oh yes, so close, but yet so far. There at Kadesh Barnea, where they could have crossed over into that Canaan land that God had intended for them to be. And all at once, that unbelief that came into their heart stopped them so that they were not able to enter in. And instead, they had to walk 40 years in the wilderness until they all dropped dead. Oh my, no, we need to have faith. We need to stand on God's promises. Amen. We need to go forward. Oh, we can't look at the giants of this world.
Amen.
And, you know, just give up and run away and say they're way too much for us. No, we serve a mighty God.
Amen.
We need that faith that Caleb had. We are well able to overcome the enemy. We are well able to go in and take the country,
yes,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Yes, that faith that we need, no matter what fiery darts are cast upon us, we need faith. Oh yes, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, praise the Lord, we've got to have faith. And oh, yes, it tells us in verse 11 here in this 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then that serious verse, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, praise the Lord. We're not home yet, folks. We've got to keep on walking by faith. We have to keep on embracing the promises of God. We must keep on doing the things that are right and not fall into temptation and be destroyed by the tempter. No, we don't want that to happen by any means. We've got to keep on no matter how hard it gets. In verse 13, so reassuring, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's hold on to that scripture. Our God is faithful, and he is not going to allow us to be tempted or to be tried above that which would be beyond our ability to resist. But he knows how to make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. Praise the Lord. Let's hold to his promises. And then, oh, verse 14 says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Oh, let's let nothing in our life get bigger than God. Oh, get dearer to our hearts than God. Let's hold on to God and flee from anything that would come between us and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to continue here in this chapter here with the help of the Lord. It tells us here, verse 15, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And here I believe he's talking about the process of communion, as we call it, when we break the bread and drink the fruit of the vine in the cup. And as we know, and it will be explained well in the next chapter, but we know that that cup of the blood of Christ, that represents his blood that he shed for us for the remission of sins. And that unleavened bread that we break, that represents his body that was broken up for us so that we might have salvation. And here it's talking, you know, we're told in the next chapter, chapter 11, we're told that as often as we drink that cup and eat that bread, that we remember the Lord's death until he comes. And praise the Lord, that's the purpose of it, so that our mind stays on what Jesus did for us to bring us salvation. And it's rather interesting here in verse 16, it says, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Well, communion means fellowship, the act or an instance of sharing. And praise the Lord, when we come together with our mind on the Lord and break the bread and drink of the cup of the fruit of the vine, that we're having fellowship with the Lord. If our mind is stayed upon him, yes, that's what communion means, to have fellowship. And praise the Lord, it's that act of remembering what he did for us, that body that was broken for us, and that blood that he so freely shed for us for the remission of sins.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Verse 17 goes, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Oh, praise the Lord. The children of Israel were all partakers in the things that God wrought for them, as you know, they left old Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and partook of the manna that he sent forth and drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. They were all partakers. But praise the Lord, through the gift of salvation, we all become one body and partakers with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I know in John, the 6th chapter, Jesus clearly states in that chapter that he is the bread of life. Praise the Lord. Just to read a small portion of John 6, it tells us in verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Oh, the manna that came down was physical. It supplied their physical need. But oh my, it was a type and a shadow of what Jesus would do when he would offer himself for us and become the bread of life, that we might be partakers in his salvation.
Yes.
Amen. He says in verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all them which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he expounded a little bit further, but praise the Lord, Jesus is that bread of life.
Amen.
And oh, yes, he came that we might have eternal life. Oh, yes, oh, that hunger and that thirst that he's talking about. He's talking about that salvation that quenches the hunger and thirst of the soul. Oh, the missing part that we don't know how to even think of before we know the Lord Jesus Christ, that spot that's reserved in our lives for the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, but Jesus came, oh yes, that we might partake of that bread of life, that we might be participants of his great and wonderful salvation and be heirs of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That we might have eternal life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord when he begins to work in us, when he begins to touch us, so am I, you know. Oh, it fills with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Those rivers of life begin to flow in our being. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, he begins to come close to us, so that we can have communion with him, so we can have fellowship with him. Oh yes, so that we can partake of everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Oh, he puts it within us so that we don't have to hunger and thirst for the desire of our heart, the greatest desire. Oh, that need for salvation. Oh yes, that need for the living waters, that need to be touched of God. Praise the Lord. We don't, you know, have to ponder after he's touched our lives and everything begins to change. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So yes, he expounds even more so in this sixth chapter, and sadly, those to which he was addressing, so many of them went away and didn't walk with him anymore after that discourse. But praise the Lord. You know, he turned to the 12 at the end of this chapter and he said, will ye also go away? And I love Simon Peter's response. Verse 68 here in John 6 tells us, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing when he opens up our eyes and our understanding so that we can believe, oh, that we can be partakers of his great and wonderful salvation. Praise the Lord. Have, oh, yes, that eternal life working within our being. Oh, yes, because we've been partakers of the living bread which came down from heaven. Praise the Lord, because our Savior gave his life for us. He Amen. Shed his blood for us. Oh, yes. So that we might have life. And abundant life in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So he says again here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Praise the Lord, that gift of salvation. Then he goes back to the old covenant here and says, behold, Israel, after the flesh, I'm talking about the old covenant, the law, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? And he's showing us these things, how that we all are partakers in his salvation, how we have that communion or that fellowship with the Lord. And now he's relating back to the time of the old covenant, and those that were of the priesthood and all, they did eat of the sacrifices. It was designated that there would be a reserve for them. They didn't have the same privileges of the, as the others to, go about and be in one of specific tribe and make their living, so to speak. But the ties were supposed to help them and provide for their needs, thank the Lord. And God had ordained that. In fact, if we just glance at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14, Paul had written, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." As it had been ordained that the priesthood there under the old covenant would be a partaker of the sacrifices, then it was also ordained that they which preach the gospel would also be partakers in that way. Praise the Lord. But, oh yes, thank the Lord. So they had that privilege under the law that, they became partakers of the altar and had that special fellowship, therefore. So Paul is relating that detail here with that which he's bringing out now for this time period when we're in the new covenant. So he goes on to say, "What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything?" And of course, oh my, now he's going to in this other direction. Those that are not in Christ and are out there in their heathenism and in their vain religions, and they offer sacrifices to idols. Well, they're partakers of that kind of worship, aren't they? But oh my, we know that these idols are nothing in that sense. They have no power or authority. But we don't want to be a participant in any way of that kind of idolatry. And he goes on to say here in verse 20, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils." And they might be well-meaning, they might be doing it very earnestly. Oh my, they might be very fervent in their worship. But here the point is made very clear. "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils." Oh, very clear point here, one that we need to, keep in mind for sure. Oh, because those devils, those forces of darkness, those unclean spirits, many entertain those, even very much so in this time period that we live right now. And oh yes, we have to be aware. We don't want to dabble in the occult. We don't want to have anything in our lives at all that goes in that direction. Here it's made clear in verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. We know there are literally people that think, they can read their horoscopes, dabble in astrology, read Harry Potter, look at the signs of the zodiac and all these kind of things and still be a Christian. In fact, it's very common today. Sad to say, Brother Samuel has mentioned and written that at this time period, witchcraft is rising. Very sad to say. But oh my, here we have a very clear warning that we cannot be a participant in any of this. We must stay clear of it because it's very clear in verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. You're going to either hate one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, Jesus said. But so many people try to live in two different worlds. Think just their little dabbling is not meaningful or very, you know, enough to cause them to lose out with God. But oh my, just going here to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter for a minute here. Let's just remind ourselves here. Jeremiah 10, verse 1, it tells us, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. You know, I think astrology is a very pessimistic approach on life anyway. Terrible to think that, you know, one would have to look at their signs and all those indicators, and oh my, if the signs aren't appropriate, then I can't do this, I can't do that. I can't go out today. I'll surely get in trouble. And all these other things, you know, by looking at the signs. Here we're told we're not to be dismayed at the signs of heaven. But that's a practice of the heathen. For the heathen are dismayed at them. And then it begins to talk about one of the practices of the heathen people. Verse 3 says, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workman, and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Oh, how we need to fear God. There is none like unto our God. And oh, yes, we're close coming to that day when, oh, yes, he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh, yes, he's coming in wrath. The earth is going to tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Oh, my, but oh, we don't want to have anything to do with the way of the heathens. We would never want to do something like cut down a tree out of the forest and bring it in, deck it with silver and with gold, fasten it down with nails so that it doesn't move, so it stands up. Oh my, people give credence to the tree, don't they? People bring them in to their houses and deck them with silver and gold. Oh yes, make it very festive. And often an object of worship. But oh my, here we're told very clearly that we need to learn not the way of the heathen, not to do those things God disapproves of. Oh, those things that are vain, those things that are customs of the heathens. He doesn't want us engaging in such. No, but he wants us to go forth and be an example of the child of God that doesn't delve into these practices and oblige oneself in that manner. Amen. Yeah. Yes, oh my. The customs of the people are vain, and how we need to just shun those kind of things. Because if God hates such practices, then surely we should hate them too. Amen. So it goes on to say, again, verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Amen. We don't want to be dabbling in the occult in any way or any of his other practices. All the heathen customs, you know, it's getting to be October pretty soon, and already people are putting out these shrines and these ugly things in front of their homes, and you know, it's such ugliness that, you know, you don't even want to look at it. The great wonder is why anybody would even want to go that direction. Ghosts and goblins and hung people and you know, tombs and, I mean, just gross, terrible things. But oh my, these are all practices. They come from the heathen with heathen origins, and God's people are not to delve into such practices. Amen. In fact, if we look at verse 22, it asks, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And I'll tell you what, our God is a jealous God. His glory he will not give to another or to a graven image. You know, that was one fact that he impounded upon the, you know, the hearts of the Israelite people. He wanted them to stay true to him. They were not to engage in the practices of the heathen people. They were not to bow down to their gods, to their images, or serve them by any means. And oh my, when they did so, they did provoke the Lord to jealousy. That is something that he will not stand. He is not going to give his glory to another or to graven images. Amen. But now, as we continue this chapter, Paul's going to bear down on a little different angle here. And here, I believe, what he's referring to is the dietary code that was a definite part of the Old Covenant. If we were to go to Deuteronomy 14, for example, we would have a list of clean and unclean creatures. And it was very strict. It was very important for them to follow that practice under the Old Covenant. But Paul has a realization that under the New Covenant, that these things are not demanded of the children of God. In fact, he talks of that in quite the detail in Romans, the 14th chapter. Oh, yes, he definitely talks about how one might esteem, for example, one day above another, and another esteem every day alike, and the need to be fully persuaded in one's mind, and telling us, verse 6 here in Romans 14, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. And then here he's talking about the dietary code. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. And then, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And he explains, for whether we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord, Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But then he asks a question, verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And then verse 13, he says, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. And then, he says in verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Unclean. And so another point that he's emphasizing is, in his heart, he felt like under the new covenant that the dietary code was not needed to be practiced, because if it was blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus, then it would be clean. But see, not everybody had that same understanding. So Paul is concerned that we would not become a stumbling block for someone who was, very set in following the dietary code, for example. And we would not want to make an occasion for that person to fall because our persuasion was a little different. And, it seems quite clear that Paul felt that there was nothing unclean of itself. But on the other hand, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So he says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So, if an individual has a strong conviction in one direction, feels like it would be wrong for them to eat pork, for example, then, we're told not to judge in that matter, but, to allow for one's opinion in that respect, in that regard. Yes. And he says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. And he ends chapter 14 in Romans, verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So there he expounds on that subject in a little more depth there in Romans the 14th chapter. But here he's going to just go into some discussion here. And yes, again, his opinion, verse 23 here in 1 Corinthians 10, for all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And so, all things, even though, and I believe he is talking about the dietary code in particular here. And so expedient, he's explaining they might not be beneficial in a way for the kingdom of God. And again, his point is that we never would want to be a stumbling block to another person. So he goes on to say, Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And their wealth, I believe, means well-being, and particularly, I would say, spiritually. And then here's getting into more particulars here in verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat. Ask ye no question for conscience' sake. And this would be like a marketplace, maybe off the street or so. And you know, all kinds of manner of items would be sold in that place. And here he's just saying, you know, if you go there and you buy something, don't ask a question. Because he knows, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But then, getting a little bit more into detail, verse 27, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. So if, you know, you're invited to some kind of party, and I trust that if we were inclined to go, that, you know, it would not be something so ungodly that we could not participate, but maybe a relative or friend or whatever purpose, and so we are inclined or disposed to go. He says, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But, if they set it before you, and they say, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So here I think he's just clarifying a point here. You know, if you go into the marketplace, you don't know all the details that's behind the item. But, you know, unless they say, hey, this was sacrificed unto idols, then, or you know, for some reason, he says you may participate. But if they would just clarify it and say, hey, this food has been sacrificed to idols. And to me, it just kind of thinks those Chinese restaurants years ago when we sometimes went there for a season, and, you know, you see this Buddha in the front of the restaurant, and there's a plate there with that Buddha, and there's food on it. Well, it seems to me they're offering that food to idols. Kind of, you know, it just seems like that's the big hint there. But anyway, this obviously was a matter to be concerned with in that time period when Paul was working with Gentile people, people that, you know, had been heathen in their backgrounds. And of course, would have even had, you know, most likely heathen relatives and friends and all. And, you know, there were things like this that they had to ponder. And so he's trying to clarify it here. But, oh, he makes it clear, if they say, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? And again, he was pretty persuaded in his own mind, but he didn't want to offend somebody else or become a stumbling block. He says in verse 30, For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Wonderful to be able to give thanks to the Lord and know that he knows how to bless our food despite all the unknowns. I mean, we're living in a very polluted world right now, and we don't know details about our food precisely, most likely, unless we raised it ourselves. Now we need to give thanks to the Lord and ask him to bless it, and believing that he will take out the impurities and use it to strengthen our bodies. Praise the Lord. So he explains, as this chapter ends, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And then he explains, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit. And I believe he tried to relate to all different people, whether they were Jews or Gentiles. I believe that's what he means here in this first part of verse 33. But he says, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many. And here, as this chapter ends, I just see this as the heart of Paul. He says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And you know, we might ask ourselves, what kept Paul going? Why could this man, who five times received 40 stripes save one, three times he was beaten with rods, one time he was stoned, thrice he suffered shipwreck, he had been a night and a day in the deep. Oh, he talks about all his journeyings, all the perils in waters, perils of robbers, perils of his own countrymen, perils among the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and oh yes, perils upon false brethren. All those things that were upon Paul, what kept him going? What was his passion? Oh, I believe he expresses it here as this chapter ends. Oh, yes, whatever he did, he wanted to do it so that others could come to the Lord Jesus, that they might be saved. He didn't want to do anything that would be offensive or cause them to stumble or to fall. No, he had this very deep zeal, this passion, oh, to go forth and to win as many people as he could for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that zeal that our brother Paul had as, oh, he walked this earth and kept on going. Oh, it had to hurt when he was beaten with rods. Oh, those stripes, 39 stripes. Oh my, that must have hurt. Oh my, it hurt when that airbag hit me when we had the car wreck. But oh my, thank the Lord, you know, we can keep going with the help of the Lord. He brings us through. He makes a way. Oh, yes, he knows how to give us victory. Oh, he knows how to take us through these hardships and keep on going by the help of the Lord. And oh my, you know, it is the Lord's passion also that we would win souls, that we would be profitable for the kingdom of God, and that we would go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That great commission that was given to us in Mark, the 16th chapter, in verse 16. Oh yes, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And oh yes, he talked about the signs that shall follow them that believe. Oh, praise the Lord, the glorious gospel, the power of the gospel to bring forth souls. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, that fourth chapter. Oh, yes, it was such a passion within his heart. He said, verse 1 here, 2 Corinthians 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Oh, yes, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, that zeal that Brother Paul had as he went forth. I know it was a heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ to, oh yes, that example that he gave as he was ministering to the people. It tells us in the 9th chapter of Matthew, oh, as Jesus was going forth and ministering, going about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But it tells us here in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. It tells us in verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Here we are. Things are winding up. As Joel expressed it, oh, there's multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. As, oh, yes, that sickle is about to be put in, the sickle of the Lord, as he's going to reap the harvest. That point, when the press is full, the fats overflow, the wickedness is so great, and yet there are people that need to be reached. You know, you just don't know. You just don't know. I know Brother Tim and I took a walk yesterday, and there weren't a whole lot of people outside at that moment. But you know, lo and behold, there was a man there in the schoolyard there, Lincoln School, which is close to my house. And, you know, first there was a woman talking to him, and she left. And that kind of gave us the moment to speak with him. And, you know, he didn't know what to expect. You know, at first, you know, offering him a track, and he said, well, I'm not religious. No, and he shook his head, I don't want that track. But you know what? Begin to talk to him. Amen. And, you know, yeah, no, the gospel isn't religion. The gospel convicts the soul. The gospel reaches down to the inner man to reach and save that which was lost. We begin to talk to him, and Brother Tim said some very pointed things there and gave him a tremendous example of his need to turn his life over to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, before we were done talking to that man, he was reaching out for a track. I mean, you just don't know, folks. You just don't know what life you may help. People are condemned. They're going to hell. So many people think they're all right. You know, I know another lady I talked to the other day. Oh, you know, oh, no, 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 thank you. I don't need the track. I went to church Sunday. But oh my, did that church teach the Word of God? You know, did you find salvation in that church? What did you learn? You know, are you living above sin? Have you been touched by God? Oh, how we need it. And you know, yes, during that walk, there were a couple boys, and they were on their bikes, and Brother Tim felt very impressed that we should talk to them. At first, it looked like they were going to go in another direction, but thank the Lord that, you know, we were able to, you know, get their attention. And you know what? We prayed with those boys. We prayed with those boys. That one boy, Kevin, he wanted to give his life to the Lord. And the other young man seemed to be, you know, willing to. I mean, you just don't know, folks. Oh, there's a world out there. There's a harvest that needs to be reached. There are people that are headed for the lake of fire. And how we need to do our part. Oh, my, if we could just catch that vision. Yes, like Paul had that vision. What kept him going? Well, I've got to reach somebody else. You know, maybe he reached thousands already, but no, there's still somebody that needs to hear the gospel. There's somebody yet that needs to turn to the Lord and repent. Oh, yes, and obey the glorious news of the gospel. There's people out there. And here we are. Oh, yes, that very pointed scripture in Joel, those multitudes. Multitudes out there in the valley of decision. Which way are they going to go? To the right or to the left? They may have a little inkling. They may know almost nothing. They may know fairly a lot. But yet, you know how many of them are really serving the Lord? How many of them have really turned away from sin? Oh, yes, we need to be a light. That city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Oh, how we need to be the salt of this earth. Oh, yes, there's a work that yet must be done. There is a harvest that must be reached. And we're getting close, folks. That day when the Lord of the harvest is going to put in the sickle, and this earth will be reached. The harvest time will be over. It will be too late after that point.
Amen.
Oh my, and how we need to go forth and do what we can while we yet have a little time. You just don't know. Oh yes, Ezekiel, oh, the 22nd chapter there, you know, it's said that there was a seeking for a man among them that should make up the hedge, would stand in the gap before God. Oh, yes, the sin was rampant. It sounds like our day when you read Ezekiel 22. The Lord was looking for somebody to stand in the gap, to cry out, to pray, to go forth, to warn. Oh, yes. To make it known that sin is not allowed in the kingdom of God. That there is a need to turn from one's wickedness and surrender the heart to God. Oh, how we need, oh yes, to go forth and do what we can while we still have a little time.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes. That was a heartbeat of Jesus Christ. I believe that was a heartbeat of Paul. I believe he puts it within his people to go forth. The laborers are few. But oh my, how we need to do what we can before this is all over. By the grace and help of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would talk to our hearts. Oh God, I pray that you would help us all to get ready. Oh God, help us to go forth and do your will. And oh God, help us to do what we can. Oh Lord, before this is all over, and you send forth the sickle to reap this earth. Oh Lord, for that day is at hand. We're seeing all these things coming to pass before us, Lord. Oh God, tomorrow could be different. Oh Lord, oh God, the night is fast falling upon the earth. And I pray that you'd help us. You'd talk to us. You'd cause us to pray. Help us to make a difference. Help us to intervene. Help us to say those words that we need to say. Help us to get our minds on thee, Lord. Help us to have that surrender in our heart, Lord, so that we can go forth and do your will and bring forth fruit into thy kingdom. Oh, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, talk to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our course books to number 86 and sing "I'm Going to Work and Watch and Pray," number 86.
I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.